So we are learning the first mimer in Vayikra. This is Vayikra Aleph, Amud Aleph and Beis. This is the first mimer in Vayikra, and the mimer is Vayikra Al Moshe. This is going to be a mimer about communication with the Eibishter. So the Alter Rebbe begins by pointing out that the Vayikra, that the Aleph, the famous small Aleph in the word Vayikra, and he contrasts it with the large Aleph in the word Adam that's in Bereishis. And the Alter Rebbe says we got to understand what the distinction is between these two. The second question the Alter Rebbe asks is that when it says Vayikra El Moshe, but it doesn't say, there's a medrash that points out that it says Vayikra El Moshe, but it doesn't say this about Abraham. When it comes to Abraham, Abraham communicates to the Eibishter through a malach, Vayikra Malach Hashem El Abraham. And so what the medrash says is that when it comes to Abraham, the malach is Kaira, V'hadibur Medaber. But when it comes to Moshe, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Eibishter says, Ani hu ha-kayra va-ani hu ha-medaber. I'm going to be the one that calls, and I'm going to be the one that speaks. So we find a similar thing in Zohar that says that that Moshe gets to speak to the Eibishter and not through a shliach. So we have to understand what it means that the Eibishter that we have to understand why it is that Moshe what exactly this means, and we also have to understand that if it's Taka, the Eibishter himself speaking to Moshe, why does it say V'yikra El Moshe? Why doesn't it say V'yikra Havaya El Moshe? Why is the pasuk does not reference who is speaking? The third question the Alter Rebbe asks is that that we have a Zohar which says V'yikra El Moshe, and the Zohar points out that it doesn't say who it is, and the Zohar ends off by saying Ela b'chol hani malacha de bris hava v'kula b'kutz rihu itmar, that all of these were the malacha bris. And they are all a reference to the Eibishter. And so the Alter Rebbe says we got to understand this as well. And the fourth question by Inyan, the fourth question is that we find that at the end of Shemais, it says that Moshe was not able to enter the tent. And the reason was that there was a cloud of the Shekhinah above the tent, and that filled the Mishkan and that stopped Moshe from entering. And it's explained in Chassidus that this cloud was a revelation of Arein Seif, and it was a revelation of particularly of Arein Seif HaSeif Galamin, as referenced by the verse Yashas Choshech Sisrei, he made darkness his hiding place. That when the Eibishter expresses himself in this Anan form, he's expressing himself in a way that cannot be understood, in a way that he's not leaving himself open to being comprehended. This is the Eibishter as he is unto Chakim v'lei b'chachma yediya. He is wisdom, wise without being knowably wise. And this pasuk Yashas Choshech Sisrei, the Choshech is a reference to the fact that in this state there is no form of tfisa. There's no form of comprehension that is possible. So. So the Alter Rebbe's unarticulated question is what changed, right? What's the difference between the end of Shemais, where he's communicating in a way that cannot be perceived by Moshe, and the Eibishter communicating in Vayikra, where he can be perceived? So the Alter Rebbe says to explain. The pasuk says Ata Kadosh v'Shimcha Kadosh, and the implication of that is that the Shimcha, that the Shemai of the Eibishter is lent Kedusha by the Ata Kaddish. What it's saying is that even the Eibishter's Shemai, even the Eibishter's name, transcends the world in a way that there is no relation between them, to the point that the Eibishter is separate and distinct from the rest of the world, and only a glimmer of him is expressed in the world, and that is the glimmer of his name. And this this ha'ara is called his name. However, the Ata Kadesh, the you are holy, still remains. That the Eibishter, as he is himself, right, the b'chvaydu v'atzmai, that he, as he is higher than a name, this is not expressed. So meaning that even through the ziv, even through the glimmer that is the name, it does not have the ability to express the Ata, right? It does not have the ability to express the Eibishter as he is himself. So says the Rebbe, we can use this as a paradigm to appreciate this pasuk, Yashas Cheshach Sisrei, that when the Eibishter is in this Cheshach state, where he uses Cheshach as his hiding place, he is in a state in which even a glimmer of this cannot be appreciated by humanity and by created beings, and created beings perceive this as darkness. The glimmer that they can understand, that we can appreciate at this point, is only the Shimcha, right? Is only this ray of the Shekhinah. In Zohar, it identifies Yashech Cheshech Sisrei as Keser of Atzilus, and this is Hamshacha, this expression is referred to as a cloud. Now, the idea of the glory of God filling the Mishkan is referenced in the Zohar. In the Zohar has a grammatical interpretation of the word male. It says male and not mila. The conclusion of the Zohar is that the word male is very specific, because what it references is the fact that the Eibishter's expression is itself fulfilled prior to it filling the Mishkan. Right? That Mila would imply that it's filling the Mishkan. Mali implies that it itself reaches a state of fulfillment. It itself reaches a state of completion, and only then is that revealed in the Mishkan. Meaning, the word Kavod Avaya is a reference to Mamalek Laman, right? Because the Kavod of Hashem is this Zib, and his attribute of Malchus, which is at times called Chachmat Hata, and is the source of creation. But at its source, this expression is Chachmila. Right. So, meaning, what is interacting with Earth is Malchus Datzilus, or otherwise known as Chachma Tata, but Chachma Ilah is, right, Chachma Vatzilus is something that is the source of that, and this is called Kavod Ilah, and this is right, and this remains truly truly distinct and truly separate, and this is why we say Baruch Kavod Hashem Imkeme. Meaning that from the perspective of Malchus, where the Eibishter fills all the worlds, from this right we are drawing down from Mimkaymai, from its original source, which is Chachma Ilah, which is Chachma Natzilus, which in this sense is the source of all brachas, and this is the drawing of Seviv into Mamala. So the unity of Seviv and Mamala ultimately is facilitated by Chachma. So when it says V'kavod Havaya Male, that the Zohar explains that the Kavod, right, that the revelation that enters the Mishkan was itself received some level of fulfillment, is that what was expressed into the Mishkan was actually an expression of Makif Elyon, and it provided an example provided a revelation of Seviv Ka'aman in Mamala Ka'aman in a way that was appreciable by Mamala, and this is why it says that the Mishkan was actually filled with this. Right, so what the experience that was happening, to kind of recap, the experience that was happening in the Mishkan was a gilei of Seviv into Mamala, a gilei of Chachma Datzilus into the world through the vehicle of Malchus of Atzilus. In that reality, Moshe couldn't come. Right? Moshe was not able to enter that because he couldn't experience that perspective of the Eibishter. He couldn't experience that Yashas Cheshach Sisrei, right? Which in a sense was higher even than Har Sinai, as the Zohar itself references when it says that there was two times we talk about clouds. Now, in our parsha, we suddenly find that Moshe has resolved this issue, right? Because the pasuk begins Vayikra al Moshe. So says the Rebbe that the word kriya, right, calling, is an expression towards Moshe. It's a revelation towards Moshe, which resolves and which makes accessible the experience of the Mishkan. Now, to begin, we find this word kriya, kara, when it says v'kara zel zev yamar kadesh kadesh kadesh, right? Now, Yonis ben Uziel, Targum Yonis ben Uziel translates this as mukablin dein min dein, that they call to one another, but that the malachim receive from one another when they say kadesh kadesh kadesh. So the Alter Rebbe explains that the word he first points out that the Targum Yonis ben Uziel translates kriya as Kabbalah, and then he explains that when the malachim are not just calling to one another, but they're actually receiving from one another, and the explanation is that without this Targum Yonison, it's very difficult to understand why they need to be how exactly to read the pasuk. Right. Why are the malachim speaking to one another when they're in the middle of this interaction with Eibishter, unless they're gaining something from it? And the Alter Rebbe explains like this: that when the malachim call to one another, they're actually being mekabel their perspectives. The nature of malachim is that each one of them is experiencing Klais and Nefesh, right? This Kaddish 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 is the Malachim experiencing the Eibishter. Experiencing the Eibishter to the point that they can no longer appreciate their own independence, and they become completely consumed in this experience. However, each of the Malachim is limited by his own perspective. So Michal has his perspective. Gabriel has his perspective. And right, Michal has the perspective of Ava. Gavriel has the perspective of Yira. And so when Michal and Gavriel are saying Kaddish, they're limited to their own perspective. So if only one of the Malachim was speaking, what it would say is actually just Kaddish once. So the Targum Yonis ben Uziel translates that what's happening when the Malachim say Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish is that they're actually sharing each other's perspective and they're reflecting on that. They're reflecting on the unity of Chagas, right? That Michal, Gavriel, and Rafal are experiencing the Eibishter together by each sharing each other's perspective. And explains the Alter Rebbe in the parentheses, he references many other Maimarim, but he explains very briefly in this parentheses that the very act of them working together allows each of them to transcend their natural state, and this is what allows them to appreciate one another. Now, coming back to Moshe, when it says V'yikra el Moshe, what's happening is that Moshe is like the Malachim. Moshe is receiving the ability to appreciate something higher than he could have before, and this ha'ara takes the form of the small Aleph in V'yikra. Now, the words Aleph can be moved around to form the word Pella, right, which means a wonder. It's something that is lamayla mehasaga, it's higher than any level of understanding. Also, Aleph can mean Aleph Chachma, meaning that it's the source of Chachma, so source from which Chachma emerges. So there's an Aleph which is in Keser, and there's a right, and this is the Aleph that is the large Aleph, right? This is the Aleph that we mentioned before, the Aleph in Adam, and this is the Aleph of Keser, but it's Keser as it is itself. And this perspective, this large Aleph, is indeed the perspective that Moshe cannot interact with. But then there's the small aleph. And the small aleph is a revelation of Keser. It's a aura of Keser. It's a glimmer of Keser. And this revelation is Keser. It's being expressed in the form of a tzimtzum, through a tzimtzum, excuse me. And when it's expressed as a ha'ara, Moshe is able to appreciate it. And when he does that, he's able to actually enter the tent. He's able to actually interact with the Eivishter. So the first Aleph refers to Adam, and this is again this is Adam Rishon Kaidem Achet, at which point he was at an exceedingly high level. Jainkin Moshe in our parsha that he's coming up from there. Now from this we can understand the medrash that we began with when we said that Ani hu akeiriv, ani hu amedaber. And says the Alter Rebbe that we can begin this by looking at another mention of the word kriya in Torah, which is the Maimer Chazal on the pasuk that says Ela mayde Hashem mikrei kodesh asher tikru oisam. And the what Chazal explains is that the yamim tovim will be made by humanity. That the kiddush, the job of making Yom Tov is the job of Bezdin, as we say that the Mikadosh Yisrael v'Hazmanim, that Yisrael is the one that makes the Zmanim. So now, and the way that the Zohar describes it is that the king invites his guests, and the guests, in a sense, make the party. So now, what exactly does it mean that we make a Yom Tov? So the Alter Rebbe explains that Yom Tov, by and large, is something that occurs during the week, right? During Chol. During a Chol, the act of making a Chol holy, right? During the act of making the mundane holy, requires an action. Right, and in the language of Kabbalah, this requires a revelation of Chachma d'Atzilus, and this is right, which is the idea of Mikra Kodesh, of calling something Kodesh. Now, however, the process of actually making that thing holy is not just the process of a revelation of Chachma d'Atzilus, which is the definition of holiness. But there also needs to be a journey towards there, and this is this requires taking the weekday, which is from Chitzenius of Chesed and Gvura, and lifting it up to Chachma of Atzilus in order to make a Kiddush. Now, what allows this to happen? This first. Require there's first a revel gilui milmayel lamata a hamshacha of chachma v'tzilus, and that is the so to speak asusa de leila, right, the inspiration, and the Jewish people the neshamas Yisrael serve to draw this down is the of the pasuk asher tikru oisam. Now, the Alter Rebbe is going to give us a very interesting framework by which to understand this idea further of the Jewish people making something, making Yom Tov Yom Tov. So he says that we know that when it comes to Shluchos, Shluchos Shal Adam Kameisei, and the idea of Shluchos Shal Adam Kameisei is that the Shliach has to be a complete and utter representative of the Mishaleach, which is why a Cheir Sheita V'Katan can not be Shluchim, because they are incapable of stepping into the Mishaleach's shoes in a complete way, which means that that when somebody is capable, once the person takes on the mantle of Shluchos, he's taking on the complete mantle. He's adopting completely the responsibilities of the Mishaleach, the identity of the Mishaleach. Now, coming back to Yom Tov, considering now what it means that the Jewish people serve as the Eibishter Shliach to make Yom Tov. This can only happen when the Neshamas Yisrael are willing to act and are able to act as Kamaisa, right? As true representatives of Hashem. And the reason that the Neshamas Yisrael can do this is because the Neshamas Yisrael also have their sheirish from Chach Mila. And so when these Neshamas Yisrael that come from Chach Mila are Mikra Kodesh, that we take on this Yom Tov as being a Yom Tov, that Yom Tov now has the ability to rise up to the level of Chach Mila, to the level of Chachma of Atzilus. The nature of the Shluchos, and the nature of a Shluchos Shalmaila, is that the job of the Shliach is to draw this Ha'ara down, and the Shliach has to be one whose nature is that he can relate to that which he is drawing down, right? He has to have the ability to connect with that which he's drawing down, because if not, he couldn't be Kemeiset, right? As we said before, that the Neshamas Yisrael, by dint of the fact that the Neshamas Yisrael come from Chachma Yila, come from Chachma Datzilus, this allows Neshamas Yisrael to be Mekadosh Yom Tov. Now, says the Rebbe that Malachim also can serve as Shluchim. And when we talk about Malachim serving as Shluchim, we find a very interesting thing, that a Malach, when he is a Shliach, is totally different than the Malach when he is not a Shliach. That when a Malach is called a Shliach, he can actually be called Hashem. He can be called Eibishter. When the Malach is not a Shliach, the Malach is defined in those moments when he's done the Shluchos, he then is defined by his he loses the definition of that shluchos, and he gains a totally new identity. In doing so, he says kadosh, 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 and because he is indicating his own separateness from the mishlech, from the havaya that he had previously, when he had adopted the shluchos, that he had previously understood. So coming back to Avraham and Moshe. Avraham, we said, communicated only through a malach, and as it says that I appeared to Avraham and I took on the form of Kel Shakai. Whereas says the Eibishter to Moshe when he introduces himself, when I talked to Avraham, I was Kel Shakai Ushmi Havaya LeNidati Lehem. And with all the Mefarshim point out the fact that the word Havaya, that the name Havaya is featured in conversations with the Eibishter. And so the Alter Rebbe's answer here that he references from a mimer in Ba'ira is that the Avos's comprehension of Havaya was only through the lens of Elokim, but Shmi Havaya, without any interpretation, without any twist to it, that was not known. And Moshe is being introduced to this for the first time. To a real Havaya without any filter. And this is the Malach that was speaking to Avraham. That the Malach served as a Shliach to draw down this Hashba. And the Malach was taking on this identity of being, so to speak, a representative of God that was so transparently representing the Eibishter, that the Malach could take on the name Elokim, that the Malach could serve in some sense as a representative of the Eibishter. Masha'inkin Moshe, that when Moshe communicated with Hashem, he was actually communicating with the Eibishter, and he was communicating with the Eibishter before, he was communicating with Havaya without the lens of Elohim. The Malachim of Abraham took on the name Elohim. But when it came to Moshe, his relationship with God was Havaya without the Elohim. And even though this Gilei was a Gilei of Ha'anan, the Yashish Cheshech Sisrei, but even though this Gilei was something that that Moshe struggled to interact with, that the intensity of that revelation is also the reason why the Malach couldn't interact with it. That the Malach, which is a Nivra Yeshma'ayin, cannot have an interaction, cannot have a relationship with God expressing Himself from that perspective. Which is why when it comes to Moshe, it says Ani Hu Hakeirav, Ani Hu Hamadaber. Moshe was dealing with the Eibishter because the Malach couldn't act as an intermediary to that level of revelation of God. What does this mean? So we have this pasuk that says Ani Rishon VaAni Achron. So it's explained in Kabbalah that the purpose of this, the meaning of this pasuk, is to indicate the unity of God. Ani Achrein, right? I am God at the end is Malchus, which Malchus is the lowest of the spheres, right? Malchus is the sphere of actually of Bria, right? And particularly the ability to make creations that have independent, that have their own sense of independence, their own sense of ego. Ani Rishen is, right, I am the first one, is Ani, which can be, the letters of which can form the word Ayin, and this is Chachma. And Chachma is the essential quality of Bittul, right? The essential quality of revelation of God without any ego, without anything but God. And when we say when Mashiach comes, we are going to appreciate the reality of the fact that both of these are true, right? That the Ani Rishon va'ani Acharein, we are going to appreciate that both perspectives are true, that the Creator, or God as He is, the Creator of entities that have their own perspective and their own sense of independence, is the same God that is one, a completely united God. Another perspective, right? When it comes to Moshe, it says v'yira reishis lei, that Moshe was experiencing reishis, which is chachma v'atzilus, and this is the ani rishon, and this is the first ani in the phrase ani hu hakeira v'ani hu hamadaber. Ani hu hakeira is the ani achrein, is malchus. Right, so Moshe understood the perspective of God as He is a creator. And Ani Hu Hamadaber is Chachma. The Chachma Mi'ayin Timtza. Chachma is Chachma Datzilus. And Moshe had Moshe's interactions with God were ones in which he was able to appreciate both of these. And this is the idea, this is the interpretation of the Zayar, that the Zayar says, V'yikra al-Moshe hu malach abris, that the... that Malchus is called at times a Malach. In the sense that it is like a Malach, that although it is a created being, when it takes on the quality of Shlichus, when it takes on the quality of expressing the Eibishter, it becomes something much, much, much higher. So the Malchus Datzilus, which is Iyu V'Gar Muichad, right, which is one with God. But when it serves to be, when it serves to as a, when it serves this in this role, it takes on a much, much higher form. And this is the right. This is similar to the idea of the small aleph that we mentioned before, which is a revelation of ha'anan diyashes cheshech sisrei. This ability for Moshe to appreciate something more and to connect to the Eibusher at this level is something that also has to be relevant in our lives. Because we know that the Torah is nitzchi, that the Torah lasts, and the Torah is relevant also today. That when a person is Isaac in Torah, it says that that I place my words into your mouth, and with the shadow of my hands I covered you. Now, shadow is generally refers to makif. And it's similar to the sukkah, that the sukkah is called the shadow of faith, which is the hamshachas hamakifim down into this world. That on sukkahs, we know that halachically a sukkah that is too hot, that is incapable of the shadow of which is incapable of protecting us from the heat, is not a kosher sukkah, which means that Kabbalistically, it means that the sukkah has to have the ability to allow us to appreciate the makif. This would be like what we described before, that the yashis cheshech sisrei, the makifim of the sukkah wouldn't be providing what we need to appreciate God. That the goal of the sukkah is that it be like the Anane HaKavod, that the Anane HaKavod are like a cloud which frames the stars, and the function of the Anan is that we're trying to draw the shachas hamakifim in a way that makes them intimate, in a way that makes them personal, in a way that makes them meaningful. So coming back to Torah has this quality of being a shadow, right? With the shadow of my hand I covered you. Torah has this makif quality. And we say that when, as is brought down in the Maimarim of Shmini Atzeres, we say that the breath of speech when we learn Torah act as a makif to our neshama. However, when we understand Torah and we grasp Torah and we allow Torah to enter our lives in a way that's personally meaningful, we take the makif of Yashas Cheshech Sisrei and we cause an actual revelation. And that's the idea of the Askinim B'Torah, of Isaac B'Torah, is not just that we recite Torah, but by learning Torah properly, by learning Torah well, we make the makif meaningful. So that the Arin Seif will be revealed down here in the same with the same quality as it was revealed as it is revealed on high. And this is the idea that I spoke to you from the Ayel Mayid, that the gun has this function of making this meaningful. And we know that it says in the Gemara that from the time the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the halacha moved over. Excuse me, the Shechina moved from the Beis Hamikdash to Torah. Because Torah now serves this function, that Torah that brings from makif to panimi, right? Torah brings the perspective of God in a meaningful way, in a personally meaningful way, And this deeper interpretation of the pasuk of Mali that we said before. Now, the Alter Rebbe suggests that the experience of Torah is actually higher even than the experience of Sukkah. That in the Sukkah, where we are seeing the stars, what we're seeing is sparks, right, glimmers of Makif, right? We're seeing just points of light. Mashenkin by Torah, where Torah actually becomes the light, right? It becomes the Torah R, as he says, that it becomes the actual light. What we're experiencing, we experience Torah is Makif as it is itself. That we experience this revelation in a way that is personally meaningful. And the has a parallel when it comes to Sukkot of Shmini Atzeres, that Sukkot is the points of Makif, and Simchas Torah, when we celebrate the Torah, we are actually making this experience of Sukkot personally meaningful.